Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Shortly, we're going to be crossing over to Gaborone in Botswana, and we're going to be having a word with Dr. Memory Vochora, who is a clinical oncologist, talking. She's just written a wonderful, wonderful article, about a patient of hers, Unopa's story. We're going to be hearing about Unopa's story and also just about the work that she does in Botswana. We're also going to be looking at music therapy. I don't know if you've heard about music therapy. And, you know, we always talk about on the DL Link Show, there are always these connections and full circle moments. And our guest, Sarah Jean Harrison, really has had a full circuit moment with her decision to pursue music therapy, taking her back to the rooms where she used to take her mother for treatment. So we've got a great show lined up for you. So I do hope that you've made yourself a cup of tea or coffee or whatever it is that floats your boat, and you'll be staying with us for the next hour. However, if for any reason you do have to be on your merry way, don't worry. We do podcast the show, and you can catch the show on the Chai FM website. But let's move forward with our first guest, welcoming Dr. Memory Vochora, who is a clinical oncologist at Life Gaborone Oncology and Francistown Academic Hospital. Dr. Vochora, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, and greetings to the audience.
Oh, it's such a pleasure having you. And I so enjoyed reading Unopa's story that you wrote, and I think that it says so much. But before we get to the story and we unpack that, let's talk about you. I mean, you've had 20 years of experience in radiation oncology and chemotherapy, specializing in the treatment of cancers of the cervix and breast and prostate, head and neck, and many others. And you've been working in Botswana for 16 years. And I'm sure many stories that you have to share. Perhaps you can just tell us, the 16 years that you've been working in Botswana, what's it like? What is the support of cancer patients like in Botswana? You know, very often we share stories about specifically South Africa in terms of early detection, getting information out to people. How would you say that is in Botswana at the moment?
Yes. Thank you very much for that. And I just want to say one secret. You said I've had 20 years of experience, but you know, as a woman, when I get to 20, I no longer say how much above that. So I stop at 20, and next year it will be 20, and the next year it will be 20. So we'll keep it at 20.
We'll carry the
20. Thank you very much.
We'll carry the 20.
Yes. So I've had a wonderful time in Botswana treating cancer because of the most important thing called access. So I think we know that healthcare is free for patients in Botswana. So even though I've worked in a private institution, I've had the privilege of treating both private and government patients. And so it means I've managed to have access, and therefore I've managed to have a lot of good stories. And that's why, you know, my joy shines through. I've had my moments, but my joy shines through my articles because of that thing called access. Of course, we are having slightly difficult moments at the time with respect to access, but my patients still can get treatment, whether in private or in the government. There's some access. So that is excellent.
Yeah, that's outstanding. So let's look at, because I know you know, you come to South Africa, you see what South Africa is like. As I said, access, early detection, people having access to those tests. And then if there is a diagnosis, to treatment. We've had such awful stories, unfortunately, coming out of South Africa. You know, we've covered a number of times what's happening in Gauteng and the Department of Health, and that there have been so many women waiting for radiation therapy for breast cancer. The money's there. The budget has been allocated and, you know, constant frustrations. Do you have what? So you talk about access in Botswana. What is it like? Do you have those kind of stumbling blocks as well or not at all?
Like what? The next article that I'm going to write, which I didn't want to write earlier on, is when there is no access, because I'm still in Africa. I'm still in sub-Saharan Africa. So what you experience, I have experienced, and probably even worse. I've seen the fungating breast masses, the women bleeding with fistulas before they have had access to treatment. And so that works. There's always bottlenecks in diagnosis, getting a mammogram, getting a pap smear, getting screening tests. They're there, and they're there. And they're very real in Africa. So like everyone else, Botswana, we're there. The only thing that is most amazing about Botswana is we actually have three linear accelerators for our radiation, one in government and two in private. So that means for radiation access, we are probably one of the best in sub-Saharan Africa, because we managed to get our patients onto a linear accelerator, no matter, and because the government is paying for the patients, we are very good for radiation. It's the chemotherapy where we have problems, because our access is limited to first line drugs. Some of the drugs that I even used to use 20 years ago, some of my patients are limited to those drugs, because moving on to a superior line of chemotherapy is not always there and it's not always available. So in that case, we have medications, but I don't always get to give my patient what I would love to give them.
There must
because
be quite.
It gets,
yeah, because it gets?
It gets more costly as you go, and the access becomes less.
Yeah, and you know, we know the treatments are improving all of the time. We yes. talk about multidisciplinary teams. We talk about a personalized strategy, treatment strategy for individuals. And that's ideal, right? That's in an ideal
yes.
world. And you probably yes. experience that in the private sector in Botswana, as we do here in South Africa. But as a doctor who, I mean, we hear it in your voice and what you've said, and you're so passionate about what you do, and you've been doing it for so long. How difficult is it for you knowing that this treatment is needed for particular patients and it's not available? And certainly with these new kind of treatments that are available and you cannot get access to them, how do you navigate that part of what you do?
Yes, and actually that's very, very difficult, because you are the one who has to tell the patient that right now we treat with targeted therapy for this, but I'm treating you with what's available. And you have to give the patient that informed choice to say, what I'm giving you, probably if you were in another place, maybe in the Western world or in the private, I wouldn't give you the same thing. So you actually have to give the patient the informed consent. Because, you know, some of the, like breast cancer, for example, some of the patients don't need chemotherapy, because we have targeted biological therapies that can target what the patient has. Cancer is now an individualized disease. But sometimes you have to give them what you have. Sometimes you have to give them chemotherapy because they just don't have access to the second line hormone therapy that is there. And that makes it very difficult for the oncologist, because you are telling the patient, I'm only giving you what I have, because what you should have is not available. And it means you carry the burden with the patient, that you know you're giving them a treatment which will give them side effects, but it's not the best treatment.
Yeah. I know with Unopa's story, you then eventually for specific breast surgery, she actually came to South Africa
yes.
for that. So let's talk about that, and let's talk about the relationship between Botswana and South Africa and sharing, you know, information within the medical fraternity and treatments, et cetera, et cetera. So Unopa's story is a beautiful story. Tell us how you
Thank
came
you.
Across Unopa.
Yeah, Unopa landed into my office like she was the most stressed girl on earth, with a breast visible mass. You know, she's triple negative, so her breast was like growing almost every day. I didn't want to see Unopa because I had seen her, I think, once before. She had come with her mother once or twice. Like, you know, she said her mother was treated for multiple myeloma, her mother was my patient. So her mother was battling multiple myeloma then when she got diagnosed. She came into my clinic and she I'm taking a history and she said, you know, she mentioned their mother's name. I'm like, how's mommy doing? Oh, she's there in Francistown. She's not doing very well, doc, but I have to go past mom and go to her. So imagine how painful it is in a consultation that your one patient is suffering in another city, but the one young lady in front of you has got breast cancer. That's how I met her. Our relationship was very clinical at first. She was very stressed. I talked to her about chemotherapy, did consent. After the first cycle of chemotherapy, Unofa's breast almost like doubled. And I'm like, what on earth? What is this? Triple negative breast cancer is growing under my eye. But I had to build a relationship with Unopa. I had to call her in and say, Unopa, come in, I give you painkillers and everything. And that's how we became friends. Slowly, slowly, she started becoming less stressed. She started become warming up until she finished the treatment. And now she's an ambassador for this thing. She walks about shamelessly helping others with cancer. It's just amazing.
That is a beautiful and amazing story because, as you say, I mean, she had this very aggressive cancer. So let's talk about that. What is it called?
Triple negative breast cancer.
And what is that? And why? What are the warning signs when it comes to that? Because you said like every day that this lump was getting bigger.
Yes. So triple negative breast cancer doesn't tell you that I'm triple negative. What you need to do is the test in the lab. So it just looks like any other ordinary breast cancers. So what we do now, we are looking for markers on the breast cancer cells for each individual patient. So some of the patients are expressing what we call estrogen receptors, the female hormones that are responsible for driving that cancer. So if we find them, we can stop the female hormones and the cancer can even start regressing. There's something called HER2, which we can find on the breast cancer cell. We can target that HER2 and stop the breast cancer. So that's the food for the cancer. I always call it the rain. That's the rain that's making the cancer grow. But with UNOPAS, it doesn't express anything. So whether there's rain or no rain, it's just going to grow. We call it triple negative. It's aggressive. It grows faster. It's more likely to spread. And that's because we also don't even have a target to treat it with. So we have to treat with chemotherapy only. There are no other targeted therapies. There are a bit of newer therapies coming up now, but in general, triple negative means there's no biomarker for me to target. There's nothing to block. There's no food that feeds it. It just grows without food. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. I love the way you've described that. So, and I hope I'm understanding this correctly. So you would use chemotherapy, which is more of this like large generalized therapy, although we've spoke about individualized, because that very targeted doesn't work on the triple negative.
Yes. Okay, so what chemotherapy does, it goes in and destroys cancer cells. It destroys cells, full stop. What targeted therapy does, it goes and sits there and starves the cancer cells. So what we are doing is we are almost treating it like a chronic disease. That's why with hormones, we can go for 10 years. They just go and sit on a cancer cell. You can have the cancer cell, but it's not going anywhere because it's starved of food. So you stop growth. But with chemotherapy, you kill the cancer cells 6 months, you treat even the bone marrow, but it can still grow because some of the cells don't die with your chemotherapy.
Hence wanting to remove the tumor. And So let's just go back. It hadn't spread. So it was just in the one breast. Am I correct?
Fortunately, it was just in the one breast. Yes. And it hadn't spread to other places.
And I love what you called the one breast. Cheapo.
Yes. So we talked about cheapo.
Tell us why. What does cheapo mean?
Yes. So cheapo means gift in Kalanga. So she's from the northern side of Botswana. The language there is Kalanga. You know the main language is Setswana, but she's Kalanga. Yeah. So we call that cheapo because we wanted to be kind to ourselves because she was going to get rid of cheapo in South Africa. She left cheapo there. So we needed to give it a nice name, to give her a nice name so that, and we talk about her now. Oh, cheapo, we wonder how cheapo is doing because she joined her sister in South Africa. And we left her there. And I always say, because our pathology is also for private, they go to South Africa. We always say you left cheapo and had an unwell friend right there.
So cheapo was left there. So, yes. I mean, her story, she's married and she's got I think, two children.
Two lovely boys, yes.
Yeah, and her mother's on the journey, and she's diagnosed with this cancer that's really aggressive. But as you say, eventually you warm to one another, and yes, she's open to the treatment, and she starts with the chemotherapy. And the mastectomy on the breast where the cancer was, that mastectomy was done in Botswana. Am yes. I correct? Did you? Okay. So what made you then decide to go for poor old cheapo?
To go for the cheaper one.
To have cheapo removed.
Yes. So it was actually her. So Unopa had big breasts, eh? So even having cheapo by herself, cheapo was now like a burden. But there's also this thing that once you have one cancer in one breast, you are likely to get another. You have a higher chance of getting cancer in another breast. It's almost the same with family history. So if you have a family history of breast cancer, like your mother had breast cancer, or your twin or your sister, your risk of getting breast cancer is higher. So it's the same with cheapo. Cheapo was the other breast. Her risk of getting breast cancer was higher than the ordinary person. So she decided that we are going to go and leave cheapo in South Africa as well.
Okay. Is there a reason why she went to South Africa for that, Dr. Memory?
Yes. So she chose to go. So I always give my patients options. So what happened is with the first mastectomy, she developed a seroma, which we were really having a problem treating. So we suggested that she goes and sees a surgeon, well-known surgeon in South Africa, and they managed a seroma. So she got a relationship with that group of doctors. Her doctor here is pretty good, quite excellent, but she decided that she just wanted to go to the same doctor.
I see. What is a seroma exactly?
So what happens is when you have had surgery for a breast, the water, the fluids start accumulating, and you have to keep on, so that's under where you have been sewn, and it forms a like a lump, but it's just fluid. It's just fluid from healing. And sometimes that fluid is very difficult to go away. So they normally put a drain. So you put the drain, it drains, you take it out, it's supposed to not accumulate. But for her, it kept on accumulating. They drain it now with a syringe because there's no drain. It kept on accumulating. So we ended up sending her to get a specialized treatment.
I see.
Yes.
And she is now in remission. Am I correct?
Definitely. I saw Unopa about a month or two ago. Actually, I didn't write that story. She wrote it, then I modified it to suit me. So I actually said, Unopa, tell me what you want to write. So she wrote her nice things. Then I just said, okay, I'm going to be the one to write the story. But she's actually the author. So I'm very happy about that. She's very well. She's very happy.
She's become a bit of a role model. And she is... Yes. Right? She's going out and sharing her story. And what kind of impact do you think she is able to have, you know, hearing about cancer, a cancer journey, early detection, access, et cetera, et cetera? What's the most important message, do you think?
I think for me, what she brings to me, stigma of mastectomy. So we don't always want mastectomy, but Unopa brings it out.
Oh, Dr. Memory, we seem to be losing you.
Way. The other time I looked at it. Okay, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. So won't you say that again, please? You were talking about the stigma around having a mastectomy.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. It's the stigma of having a mastectomy.
Yes, and
you can hear me because saying, I can find my glitching.
We can hear you now, Dr. Memory. We can hear you now. So
great.
Maybe before we say goodbye, maybe you can just expand on that and how what positive impact she is having on that around the stigma of the mastectomy.
Yes. So the young ladies with young husbands and young children suffer from the stigma of mastectomy. The breast is the representation of femininity. I'm thankful to Unopa's husband who has been able to embrace her the way she is. He moves with her. He travels with her when he goes to run his comrades marathon, by the way. I'm so happy for him and for her. But her, she has decided to put even on a profile picture sometimes her two breasts absent. Without anything, just to share to the world. I saw one day I was looking at her WhatsApp profile and I was like, Unopa is showing herself like that amazing girl. She's removing stigma from, first of all, cancer, but she's got bilateral mastectomy and she's showing the world that she's alive and happy with that. So that's the most amazing thing.
Yeah, she's that's so brave to do that. And also that she didn't opt for reconstructive surgery, because that is available, right? I mean, so often women do. Is there a reason why she didn't?
She said right now she's very happy in her state. She will entertain more surgery and other things later, but she's actually very happy just doing what she's doing. I think maybe she's ambassador for people who don't have access. Do you know that reconstruction is not always available? So I think she's also being an ambassador for people who can't cross the road and have a breast reconstruction, or even locally, because the queues are more for treating the disease rather than for reconstruction. So I think she's just being an ambassador for what she has right now, which is also amazing.
Yeah, I think that is an amazing message. And as I said, so brave. And because some people can't, and to accept yourself, you know, you've had you've had the mastectomy, you're in remission, you're amazing. And this is part of it. We don't have to hide it, or we don't have to pretend it's not there. Yes. And I think that's a very powerful message, Dr. Memory. Listen, we've come to the end of our conversation, but I must say it's been so lovely having you on the show. You have this wonderful disposition, and you've given us we have many stories about what happens here in South Africa, and it's rather lovely to go beyond our borders and to hear what's happening in Botswana, and also that there's the crossover, you know, with doctors and clinics, and that's wonderful to hear. Is there anything before we say goodbye to you? Is there anything that you wanted to say before we say goodbye?
Yes, what I'd just like to say, based on Unopa's story, is breast cancer, first of all, it's treatable. You can live and you can be happy after treatment for cancer. That's it. That's what Unopa is saying. And that's the most amazing thing. Thank you.
Beautiful. Oh, Dr. Memory, thank you very much for joining us. It's been lovely having you here on 101.9 High FM. Dr. Memory Vochora, who's a clinical oncologist at Life Gaborone Oncology and Francistown Academic Hospital. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to be exploring music therapy with Sarah G. Jean Harrison. So stay with us.